What is up, you fantasy freaks out there? It's the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I am James Coe. We got a full house today. MG Marcus Grant in the building. What's up, Marcus?
What's going on, James Coe?
Alex Gelhar, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, back from Wisconsin. What's going on, man?
Happy to be here, as always. Another exciting podcast.
And, of course, our fantasy yellow jacket, the Hoff, the Hall of Famer.
Is it yellow or is it mustard?
Isn't it a gold jacket?
You said yellow jacket.
Maybe it's gold.
You said yellow jacket. I thought bees.
You thought Georgia Tech is what you
thought. I thought bees. Yeah, you know.
We get plaid jackets for being in the Fantasy Sports Writers Hall of Fame, like in Caddyshack.
You know, actually, you actually had me going there.
That Rodney Dangerfield wore.
You actually had me going there. Do they actually give jackets for this?
No jackets.
No jackets.
A little plaque.
No jackets. We've got the set falling apart as we speak.
Is that right? Yeah, that's right. That actually reminded me of an interview that Gene Okerlund did for WWF.
Oh, my Lord.
And the WWF logo fell down behind him, and he started...
They're not going to let us...
Let me tell you something, Gene. Let me tell you something, Gene.
I'm just worried that the rest of it falls down, and Gelhar... breaks his head.
This head is very solid.
It is the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, but of course you could always catch great content. You could start drafting now. Mock drafts happening now. NFL.com/fantasy. And for all the great information to help you with the aforementioned draft, how about the NFL.com/fantasy, it's just NFL.com/fantasy draft kit?
Just draft kit.
You would think that I would know that.
That's right. We're a little rusty. The holiday weekend, watched America win the women's
Cup. Oh, that was cool,
USA.
Man.
That was awesome.
That was cool.
USA.
I noticed that James Coe is not in a sling. I thought you were having
surgery. I know. I was so if you listen to the podcast with any regular, I said last week I was saying that I had to get shoulder surgery. And like winter in Game of Thrones, it is coming. I promise you that.
So that means like a month you're going to have it?
Here's what happened. So I was supposed to get surgery last, I think it was last Tuesday. Well, over the weekend, I did some gardening. I cut my leg, and it got infected.
What did you cut your leg on?
It was a branch. I was pulling some branches out of the ground.
How did it get infected?
I don't know, bud. I'm not a...
This isn't the WebMD podcast.
Come on, man.
Let's get on with the story.
It got infected. I had to take amoxicillin. My doctor took a look at it on Tuesday and was like, bro, I can't give you... I can't cut you open.
Your doctor calls you bro?
No, but in my head, so the doc says, look, I can't give you... I can't cut you open while you have an infection. So he's like, look, you got to finish your course of amoxicillin. And then we'll talk about it. So we talked about it yesterday, and we got a schedule for next Tuesday, barring any gardening accidents.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, don't get bit by a spider or anything like that.
Crazy stuff, yeah. Man. All right, listen, let's get right into it. We're gonna do mail. We're gonna do mail time, which we've got some fancy new sounders for that, so it's gonna be fun. We're gonna talk about the Dallas running game.
How about them Cowboys?
And how about Hype Train or Smokescreen? Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams, Josh Hill, guys, that we're going to be talking about. And a new segment we like to call Can You Take Me Higher? It's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking Alfred Morris, Frank Gore, Danny Woodhead. Basically, guys that are not the sexiest draft picks, but could take your fantasy team to the next level. I do enjoy that. But let's get to the top fantasy headlines for today. I love it. I feel like I'm in a 1980s newscast. It's good stuff.
Wes Mantooth is going to jump in here at some point.
Antonio Gates was suspended 4 games for violating the NFL policy and program for performance-enhancing substances. Listen, he was getting on in years, but even at 35 years of age, the dude had a huge year last year. 800 yards, 12 touchdowns, and get this, he was the second highest scoring tight end last year, only behind the great Gronkowski. The name that jumps out, obviously, is Ladarius Green, 6'6", 240, athletic freak, entering his fourth year. What do we expect? Not only from Antonio Gates, but how about Ladarius Green? How excited are you guys about the Green Monster?
I mean, I want to. We've been going for a couple of years about this with Ladarius Green. Right? It's been happening for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I guess I'm more excited, but I'm not rushing up. I'm not reaching up to get Ladarius Green all of a sudden. I think, if anything, it helps Keenan Allen a lot more.
Okay.
You know, Malcolm Floyd is back. He may see some more targets. I guess we don't have Eddie Royal to kick around anymore, so we don't have to worry about that one now. But, you know, I just have a feeling these targets are going to go somewhere else not named Ladarius Green.
Yeah, no question about that. And what I fear is that Green plays well in the first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Gates comes back.
Okay.
They eat into each other's targets, making both of them inconsistent. Mm. Whereas at least last year you had Gates, who was scoring touchdowns like they were going out of style.
Unbelievable. I mean, three touchdowns against Seattle. Come on.
Keep in mind, too, that in the previous 2 years combined, he had 11 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Last year he had 12. He wasn't going to get there again. And I agree with Marcus about Keenan Allen, who is one of my favorite bounce-back candidates.
Okay.
For 2015.
Go Bears.
Because if you look at the numbers since 2010, without Gates in the lineup, Phillip Rivers actually averaged more yards per completion. His explosive pass plays were a bit higher as well. The touchdown passes per game, he was still over two, even without Gates. They've still got some weapons in that passing game. So I don't know that Rivers takes a huge fall here, but Green is now a draftable asset somewhere
late. No doubt.
As a two.
Late round flyer, yeah.
And you wait and see what happens with him, exactly.
Gilhar?
I'm with Marcus. I think more so than anything, I'm not excited about drafting him because I'm more worried that it's just going to end in heartbreak again. You're going to have more reason for optimism, so therefore the heartbreak is going to be that much bigger. It's like doing a long-distance relationship in college. You're like, this seems like a good idea. We've been together for so long. But it's just going to end in heartbreak.
We've been hyping this Green guy for it seems
it's been
like
a couple years.
For years now.
You know, he ran a quicker 40 than Antonio Brown, Kelvin Benjamin, and Dwayne Bowe.
That is amazing.
If he's so fast, why is he never open?
He's not on the field. Got the old man in front of him.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, and that's the other thing, man. Rivers just loves him some Gates. He just loves him. So, I mean, when he gets in trouble, he just says, hey, where's my boy Gates at? Just tosses it up. It's good stuff. But how does this impact Antonio Gates' draft value? Again, we're talking about a guy, 35 years old, but, again, was hugely productive last year. Obviously, it's going to take a big knock on him. But what is a good draft price for a guy like Antonio Gates?
He's now not someone that you would draft outside of the last five rounds. The one thing that I would do, and
is he draftable?
Yes. This is going to happen with a lot of people because the tight end position stinks.
Stinks.
Coming into this year. It stinks.
Sure.
There's only two guys you can draft in the first five rounds.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably only five guys you can draft in the first eight rounds. After that, it's a catcher's catch can because you don't really know who is going to break out. We like Zach Ertz, right? Maybe Jordan Cameron if he can ever stay healthy. Jason Witten, sort of that old reliable guy.
Yeah.
But if you want to utilize a draft strategy with Gates, you take a lesser number one to fill in for the first 4 weeks, or maybe you take Ladarius Green. Then you have Gates after the Chargers' fourth game. You plug him into your lineup. You use him for the rest of the year.
I almost think, and trust me, there's on this panel, there is not a bigger Antonio Gates fan than James Coe. I love Antonio.
When did you start using the third person?
Just now, apparently.
Yeah,
I didn't realize Carl Malone had joined the podcast.
Just Carl Malone. The podcast has gone to his head.
Carl Malone loves Antonio Gates. But by the way, props to you for two WWF references in the first 5 minutes. Catches Cascana.
I'm a big fan.
Me, Gene Ogre.
Yeah, I love it, man.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Antonio Gates fan, and I would hesitate even drafting the guy. I hesitate drafting it, and let me tell you why. Because roster spots are so valuable on a fantasy football team. I mean, unless you're playing one of these crazy leagues that has like 15 bench spots or whatever it might be. But bench spots are so important, especially early on. Are you really going to roster two tight ends?
All right, wait. Well, let me ask you a question here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to roster two tight ends because the position is weak this season, hoping to catch a
gotta
gem.
Hedge your bets.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell's going to miss three games. Mm. Tom Brady's going to miss four games. They're both draftable assets. Gates was the second best tight end.
But we're talking about running backs. About running backs, Mike, versus tight ends. All these guys that you mentioned that could be interesting substitutes, I guarantee you they're going to be on the waiver wire. So that for me, I would hesitate the drafters out there cautioning
but Gates,
them.
Gates is still a starting fantasy
and
player.
And he's not going to last on the waiver wire. He's going to get drafted in a lot of leagues. I think if you don't have Gronk or Graham, maybe Kelce, Olsen, maybe Julius Thomas. Bennett, Julius Thomas. I mean,
well,
I
don't even know about him, Marcus.
Right, but there are a handful of guys that if you don't get maybe those first five, maybe six guys, you're probably streaming tight ends for the rest
that's
of the
exactly
year.
That's exactly right. So but that's why I'm saying a guy like Gates might not be worth a draft pick. Are you really going to wait 4 weeks for Antonio Gates to come back? And, Mike, you mentioned it. If he does, Ladarius Green maybe starts to cut into his playing time. It's a draft pick that I can't really trust, and I would be hesitant to advocate drafting a guy like Antonio Gates, despite my man crush on Antonio Gates and despite the fact that he was the second highest scoring tight end last year.
I think what he can represent, though, is like a security blanket. If you start, you take a shot on a higher upside guy, like maybe you're going to ride with ASJ or Josh Hill, or
okay,
you're streaming tight ends for the first couple weeks, and it isn't panning out, if you drafted Gates,
right,
then you've got a tight end one ready to go.
And you're also
over.
Doing
then you
the
use
same
that bench
thing,
spot to pick somebody up after somebody gets injured.
You're doing the same thing with Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady was awful the first 4 weeks. You know that very well.
I do.
And then he came on and played.
I wish he was suspended.
Good. But you're basically going to be doing the same thing. You're going to draft Brady, sit on him for 4 weeks,
right,
and then wait for him to come back, and then you're going to utilize him the rest of the year. Same thing goes for Antonio Gates. Yes, there's a chance that Green comes in and the targets get eaten up a little bit. Maybe Gates doesn't see as what he did last year, but he's still a red zone target, and he's still a prominent player at a position that is awful.
Yes.
Awful.
All those assessments I agree with. The only difference is that when Brady comes back, you know he's getting the rock. When Gates comes back, you don't know what kind of targets he's going to get. But we move on. Mike Evans did a pretty extensive sit-down interview with the USA Today, and we learned he's a huge Harry Potter fan. And he spent part of the offseason learning from his childhood idol, Randy Moss, the receiver, not the NFL Network reporter. Can he be a top 10 receiver next year, which is what he was last year? 1,050 yards, 12 touchdowns. Does he repeat? Does he move in to the upper echelon of fantasy wide receivers? Mike, what do you think?
I have him ranked in the top 10, and he just keeps moving on up for me, too. The size, the red zone presence that he brings to that offense.
Sure.
And let's be honest, Jameis Winston has got to be an upgrade over the
huge upgrade
they had last year.
Huge upgrade.
It's got to be. So
he does?
I've got Evans.
We just assume he has to be, right? Like, he doesn't have to be.
Well, he doesn't have to be, but you would think. I mean, we're talking about Josh McCown and Mike Glennon. I have Evans ranked number 8. I like that he got in and did some work with Randy Moss, who, by the way, for people who didn't play fantasy football back in the late 90s and 2000s, oh boy, he was amazing.
We'll just X
amazing.
Out. We'll just out his Raider years, but yes,
right, sure. Although I think he had 1,000 yards with the Raiders, it just wasn't very good. I know he had missed some
he
time, maybe suspended, but the thing that I like about Evans is that he's a second year receiver who's young, and if you look at the receptions and the yardage,
yeah.
There's
solid
there's room,
room
for
improvement.
Improvement.
Yeah, no doubt.
There really is.
Wiz, what do you think?
I would hesitate to have him in the top 10. I hadn't seen this. Did you move him up in your latest one, Fabs, up
yes.
to 8?
Yep.
Because touchdowns, even for wide receivers and for a guy as big as Evans, are fluky. You know who else
very
is big
fluky,
and great in the red
yeah.
zone? Vincent Jackson. You know
very
who else
point.
Is great and big in the red zone?
ASJ?
Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Okay.
And the fact is, like, Vincent Jackson, I think the hate has gone a little too far on him this year because he only had, what, 2 touchdowns last year?
Yes.
I was looking at all the years where
still 1,000 yards, though.
All the years where he's played 16 game or like 15 or more games and been like a true starter, he's averaged 7 touchdowns a year.
Okay.
So you think that's going to swing back. That could eat into it. Jameis Winston's an unknown. I love Mike Evans in that wide receiver 2 range.
Okay.
I hesitate to put him up into the wide receiver 1 range.
Marcus Grant.
Yeah, I'm with Alex on this one. I just have this bad feeling about Mike Evans.
I do too.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I can't put my finger on it, but just I think maybe it's the 12 touchdowns and feeling like I don't know that happens again.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, that's a big number to have happen again. And I feel like, and I say this as somebody, I'm currently writing a little self-promotion, writing something about Keenan Allen, should be up on Wednesday on NFL.com, about, you know, why he fell off from his rookie year to his sophomore year.
Okay.
Part of it was that his touchdown numbers fell quite a bit. His yards
right.
numbers fell quite a bit. And I just have this weird feeling that we're going to have the same thing with Mike Evans. And not that it's anything about him or the offense. Just
it's just such a hard standard to live up to again. I mean, I'm looking at, we talked about Randy Moss, and he had that incredible rookie season, the 17 touchdowns, 1,300 yards.
Right.
I mean, yes, he bounced back. He had four double-digit touchdown seasons to start his career. In fact, he had, what, six of his first seven.
But he's Randy Moss.
But he's Randy Moss. And I don't think Mike Evans is there quite yet. I think he'll have perfectly good numbers. I could see him with, you know, 900 yards and five or six touchdowns. And that's a fine year. It's just not a top 10.
And I think the biggest difference, too, is the speed. I mean, Randy Moss, yes, he was had sticky hands. He was long. He was lean. He, you know, similar size profile, but the speed, man. I mean, Randy Moss was a blur out there.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, you know, not necessarily. Look, he's still a great athlete, a great wide receiver. I could easily see him repeating his campaign of being a top 10 wide receiver this year. But as you mentioned, though, man, 12 touchdowns. That's tough to do, but how about this? How about if he had eight touchdowns and, like, 1,300 yards? You'd feel
– if he gets the yardage, yeah.
I don't feel uncomfortable
to
with that projection.
To me, he's a top 10 guy at the position. I mean, he even admitted it that last year he thought that the quarterbacks – not to quote Julius Randle about leaving, you know, some meat on the bone in terms
Joseph
of yardage. Who did I say?
You said Julius
– Joe Randle. I'm thinking basketball.
You've got a Laker fan in the house. Right.
Yes, but that is something that I think he's going to improve on.
Yeah.
68 catches, I mean, that's not great.
There's room for improvement. I can see him get to 8.
He had 122 targets, too, and only 68 catches. I mean, granted, a lot of those were probably
overthrows.
God knows where, in the dirt.
Right, exactly. So I really think that there is a young up-and-coming star in Tampa Bay.
I like it.
Who
I like
is
it.
A top 10 receiver in fantasy and maybe in reality, too, very soon.
I like it. I like it a lot. I think 85 catches, 1,300 yards, 8 or 9 touchdowns. I think that's totally doable for him. And if that's the situation, we are talking about a star in the making, no doubt. All right, the Saints had a huge revamp of their offense this season. They traded Jimmy Graham. They signed C.J. Spiller. To pair with Mark Ingram, they let Kenny Stills walk. It's opening the door for guys like Brandon Cooks, Josh Hill, and total unknowns like Shontavious Jones.
Who?
He's a random 6'5 rookie wideout from Valdosta State. I don't even know if I'm saying Valdosta. Is it Valdosta? Valdosta?
It's Valdosta.
All right, Valdosta. I think it's in Georgia.
It is, correct.
There you go. A lot of new names. It prompted Drew Brees to tell ESPN Baton Rouge that he's, quote, excited about all these guys and that some of these guys are going to be, quote, household names pretty quick. Do you buy that? Do you buy that Shontavious Jones might be a household name pretty soon?
I don't know about that.
What household
Cooks,
are you asking about?
Right. if you're at Shontavious' household, like, a household name. But Brandon Cooks will be. I love him. And I said I loved Cordarrelle Patterson last year, and that didn't really work out very well. But you're looking at one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, and Drew Brees throwing him the football. A lot of lost targets after Graham was traded, Stills was traded. The backfield had a lot of targets that they lost as well, which is good news for C.J. Spiller. But Cooks is lightning fast. The only thing that can keep him from breaking out this year is if he can't stay healthy.
Right.
That's it. He is, to me, I have him ranked in the top 15 wide receivers, and he is one of the guys I am targeting for sure.
Marcus, I kind of feel like the fantasy community has fallen out of favor with the Saints.
You know, I don't know if they've fallen out of favor with them. I think people are looking at them with caution this year because the
last year was such heartache at every Saints positional player. Drew Brees,
absolutely.
Huge disappointment. Jimmy
Mark
Graham,
Ingram. I loved Mark.
Okay, aside from
that's
well, and I think that's where the caution comes in is that everything they've done this offseason points to them changing the way that offense works. That it's not going to be Drew Brees throwing for 5,000 yards anymore. That you know he'll put up decent numbers. He could have a 4,000 yard season, but he's not going to have those video game numbers we're used to seeing from him. Instead, we're going to see, I think, a lot more short throws. We're going to see a lot more Mark Ingram in the offense. We're going to see the C.J. Spiller catching the passes out of the backfield sort of thing. It's not going to be Drew Brees with the 5 to 7 step drop and heaving it downfield for his targets. I just don't think that's going to be as big a part of the offense anymore.
I think a part of me just died from that rant. Part of me just died.
Let me bring you back.
Okay, resurrect you. Please.
I was more concerned at first, when they traded Jimmy Graham and it looked like the ship was getting blown up. But then I sat back and I was like, this is still Sean Payton.
Yeah.
This is not Brian Schottenheimer retooling an offense. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback.
All right.
He's got great talent around him still. Yeah. Marcus Colston, as we'll talk about later, still has a little left in the tank. You got Brandon Cooks. Nick Toon, the son of, isn't Al Toon a Hall of Famer? Maybe not. Anyways,
Jets fans really hope he was, but he's not.
The Nick Toon, you got, as you said, Shontavious Jones, CJ Spiller. This is still an offense that's going to put up yards and points, and I think we just need to come back around to the fact that it's got a fantastic coach calling plays and a fantastic quarterback. They're going to move the ball, and they're going to put up fantasy points.
I think the I wonder if the backlash from last year's disappointment – I mean, again –
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, Mark Ingram, obviously, he excelled, and he was the one guy that outperformed his draft price. And everyone else was disappointed. I mean, even a guy like Brandon Cooks, where a lot of guys were very excited about Brandon Cooks, and, you know, the injuries kind of derailed a very promising start.
I'll say this. I mean, I know you don't want to hear it, James, but I'm going to have to quote Outkast here. Even the sun goes down, heroes eventually die. You know, it happens.
Heroes eventually die. Hey, can we mark the podcast with that one? That should be the tagline for the podcast today. Heroes eventually die. Sully, can we make that happen? All right, we're making notes.
Didn't Superman die at one point?
Yep.
Comics.
Of course,
yes.
Not getting into that.
Come on.
Doomsday.
Of course, Doomsday.
Batman.
Man. Yeah. You know, Bane.
Everybody dies
Bane.
And comes back to life in
That's
comics.
True.
That's how they work.
That's how they get you buying more comics. Mm-hmm. All right. What should we do? Oh, we should do mail time. Should we do mail time? Let's do mail time. All right, how about we do it?
Get that sandwich out of your pie hole and listen up, maggot. It's time for mail call.
Mail time. Matthew Smith at Tennessee Roadkills, I think is his handle. TN Roadkills. He asked, in a PPR keeper, just got offered a third round pick for Gore. What do you think? I think, how do you click that yes button fast enough? I mean, good Lord, yes, make that trade. 100% for
same
sure.
Same here.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I mean, Gore otherwise is what, like a fifth round pick?
A fifth round. You're getting a third round pick for Gore, who's a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick for this year. It's a keeper league as well.
There's no way Gore's lasting until the fifth or sixth round, at least as far as I'm concerned. He's
in a PPR league?
Off the board in the fourth round at the latest.
But we're talking a PPR keeper. You're trading up at least around here.
Right.
You probably get somebody younger.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't agree with this trade.
Okay. Where's going?
I'm talking about Gore in terms of redraft. Although it's hard to answer questions like this because what if Matthew Smith has awful, awful running backs?
That's
right?
True.
And he loses Gore, and now he's even bigger trouble in the backfield. So it's hard to answer that without a little bit more information.
All right, well, here's the
thing. But on paper, yeah, I agree with you.
Would you move to the third round? I mean, after we just talked about the Saints and their offense, move up to the third round and maybe get a guy like CJ Spiller, who could have a breakout PPR year in New Orleans.
Yes. Negative.
Nope.
That's right.
Nope. You don't like him?
Not a fan.
But James makes a point there because – How many times, guys, have we been on the Spiller bandwagon and thrown off?
Don't do it. What are you
violently
doing? Don't do it.
He's violently.
He's in a better situation now with a better quarterback he's ever had in his career.
I have a bad feeling about this.
I agree.
All right, listen, we move on. Our second
little
question.
Star Wars. Love it.
We got another mail drop first.
Second question on mail time here.
Message for you, son.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Raider Juice, OJuice, _876, asks us on Twitter. Who should I drop for Kevin White, Tevin Coleman or Keenan Allen? How do I say none of the above?
I know, really?
What?
I would drop Kevin White for Keenan Allen, and I would probably drop him for Tevin Coleman, too.
I think he's asking it the other way. He's asking which of the other two guys
he wants
Kevin
White.
He wants Kevin White.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, no. Then I would rather have Keenan Allen and Tevin Coleman.
I guess I would.
I like
would,
them all.
I like them all. I would probably say goodbye to Tevin Coleman just because I still have a feeling that I think Devontae Freeman is going to be more involved than we're giving him credit for, and I think the Falcons are going to throw the ball a lot more than we're anticipating this year.
Well, considering I give Devontae Freeman zero carries, I would hope that he
on your fictional team where you're calling the plays for
exactly.
The Falcons.
Right, exactly. On my video game offense, I'm giving the ball to Tevin Coleman 50 times a game. Boy, first of all, he's got to be in some crazy 8-team league.
Probably.
Kevin White can't be hanging out there. Can he?
I guess he can be.
Apparently he can.
That's crazy talk.
I mean, I do think Keenan Allen's going to bounce back this year.
I agree, but, oh, man, Kevin White's got unbelievable upside, though, man. That's tough.
I have soured a little bit on Keenan Allen. I hope he can bounce back, and I think he could, but I was actually looking at it historically for Rivers and Allen all the talk today.
All right.
Rivers, you know, been a starter for about 10 years now. How many times do you think he's had a 1,000-yard receiver, wide receiver, or tight end?
Well, Vincent Jackson.
How many times?
Yeah.
He's had Vincent Jackson.
And I don't. And honestly, Floyd. I don't know that. I don't think Floyd's ever had 1,000 yards.
No, but Allen had 1,000 yards his rookie year.
Right.
I think I would say Vincent Jackson probably had it once.
For sure. No, I think he had more than that.
Well, hold on. It's six in 10 years. Two of them went to Gates, three to Jackson, yeah. And then one for Allen.
Okay.
In other years, he spreads the ball around a lot. Like, sure. Rivers is great fantasy-wise, but like you said, you got Malcolm Floyd's getting 800 yards. Danny Woodhead had 700 yards the last time he was fully healthy with them. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm souring a little bit on the Allen, because he might end up just getting put into this Stevie Johnson range, which is funny that they're teammates now, of 1,000 yards and six touchdowns a year. So I would consider it would be a very frisky move to drop Keenan Allen for Kevin White. But
I would do it, and this is coming from the Cal guy, but I mean, you got to hold on to Tevin Coleman, man. He's got too much upside at a position that you need. Running, it's hard to drop a running back for a wide receiver, especially a rookie wide receiver, who's right now the number two option on that offense, you know? So it's tough.
I feel like I'm going to be the guy, and I will regret this, I know, probably in November, but I'm gonna ride or die with Kevin White this year. I just feel like I feel that.
Like Rankin.
I
like Patterson
it. I do.
Year.
I feel it. I'm going to ride or die with Kevin White this year.
Give me a projection, man.
Kevin White, I can see 1,100 yards.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I
1,100 yards.
I'm feeling a heels.
1,100 yards, and I'll go
feeling a heels wager
seven
here.
Touchdowns.
You're thinking he has DeAndre Hopkins year.
I think he has DeAndre Hopkins type year. Yes. No parachute, baby.
I like it. I like it.
No
I like
parachute.
It. I like it when guys get crazy on the show. I like it. All right, so Raider Juice, here's the verdict, man. I'm going to say you drop Keenan Allen for Kevin White. I like the upside. I know Marcus Grant likes Kevin White, obviously. He's going to drop Keenan Allen. Or is
no,
it
Kevin? I'm going Tevin Coleman.
You drop Tevin Coleman
I am.
For Kevin White. Wiz, what do you do?
I say we tell him to assign 1-2 to Kevin White, 3-4 to Tevin Coleman, 5-6 to Allen, and roll a die and see which one.
Out of baby. All right. And Mike,
drop somebody else.
Drop somebody else.
or
you know what? Go out there
leave
with no
Kevin
kicker.
White on the waiver wire, which doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah. All right, we move on. Daniel Haas.
Last mail question.
I like this. Yes, last mail question.
Right. Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
What is that?
What is that?
Little Blues
Clues. That was on Nickelodeon years ago.
Daniel Haas. And he's got an interesting Twitter handle. Telamonian Dan. Is that some kind of comic reference?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Star Trek reference, maybe? I don't know. You know what?
Ask
tweet at me. James Deco. What is Telamonian Dan? What is that a reference to? I like it. Yeah, C.J. Anderson or Justin Forsett? Cal Bear or Cal Bear? Where do you
I feel like you should answer this
yeah,
question
why don't
first.
You start?
Look, C.J., it's hard to get away
this
from.
This is Sophie's Dan. Choice for you. Pick one of your Cal children.
It's almost impossible to get away from C.J. Anderson. He's still in a very good offense. He showed last year that he could ball out. I like Justin Forsett, a very reliable. I think he's going to be a very reliable option for Baltimore this year, but a lot of competition there in Baltimore as well, so I think it's going to eat into his production just a little bit. It's just a more explosive offense, and I just liked what I saw on the field more from C.J. Anderson versus Justin Forsett, but both very good players.
No question, and I would agree with you. Anderson's got first-round talent.
Yep.
I think Forsett has second-round talent in PPR leagues, especially with Trestman there calling the plays for the Ravens, but Anderson's the play here. Let's just hope he's not Monte Ball.
No, I don't think he will.
But
Cal greater than Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yes, I went there.
Yeah.
Cal greater than Wisconsin.
You know where James Coe went to school?
I was like, that's not even a shock. Like, that's not even a surprise at all.
All right.
So, a couple points in favor of C.J.
Yes, please.
Beginning of the offseason, Gary Kubiak was more so like, C.J.'s going to have to win the job. You know, it's going to be a competition. Now he's basically entering camp as the presumptive starter. Also, while Forsett was great last year, I didn't believe in him at first, but he proved us all wrong. He only had six games with 80-plus yards last year. Anderson had five in the final 6 weeks alone. So he's got that explosive ability, like we said, and he can be a game changer in that offense.
It's funny, too, because C.J. Anderson in the passing game was very effective. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, with Kubiak gone and Mark Trestman there in Baltimore, Justin Forsett, certainly an interesting play in PPR as well. All right, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys running back battle. Gentlemen, running backs coach Gary Brown told the Dallas Morning News, quote, "I can't say who's going to be the lead dog right now, and we're going to do what's necessary to win games." A.K.A., you fantasy nerds need to shut the hell up.
Hey, nerds.
Offensive coordinator Scott Linehan.
You are what you are, right?
Has basically said it's going to be a committee approach, end quote. "I just think we have a complementary backfield. They're going to spread out the carry. Some games are going to be different than others," close quote. Oh, boy. Running back by committee here in Dallas behind one of the most talented offensive lines. Darren McFadden, Joe Randall expected to handle most of the duties, I would imagine. Joe Randall on 51 carries last year, 6.7 yards per carry, man. 23 years old, 6 feet tall, 210 pounds. How about D-Mac, though? Darren McFadden, 155 carries last year for Oakland, 534 yards. Despite a patchwork offensive line, still 3.4 yards per carry. Not great, but not awful either. 27
it's
years old.
Pretty close to awful.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty close. 27 years old, although it feels like he's about
That's
100.
The part that surprises me.
I know.
Crazy.
6'1", 220 pounds. He's a big boy, man. I guess where do we go from here? Look, it sounds like it's going to be a committee approach, but coaches are notoriously bad about lying, about playing share. So where do we go from here? Joe Randall, Darren McFadden, or do we believe what the coaching staff says in that it'll be a committee approach?
I think it is going to be a committee to a point.
What does that mean?
Which means that Randall, who is the person I like,
okay,
who has the upside,
all right,
who has the youth and the young legs, and is getting a lot of hype down there in Big D right
sure
now.
Sure is.
Randall is the guy that I see having 250 carries, whereas McFadden,
that doesn't sound like very much.
Maybe he sees 125, somewhere in that range. Keep in mind, Darren McFadden has not played a 16-game season. I mean, he is one of the most injury-prone players
right.
in the National Football League. I mean, in the dictionary, under injury-prone players, you've got a picture of Run DMC. So I don't know that he'll play 16 games. I don't know that he'll play 12 games. Randall is a guy who's got explosion. He had a high yards per carry average last year.
Yep.
You mentioned the great offensive line in front of him.
Tremendous.
I am going youth and upside over experience and injuries here. I'm going with Randall.
You know, I think, by the way, I remember, was it last week's podcast or a recent podcast, we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And I said,
it never gets old.
I said jokingly at the end that, you know what's going to happen? They're going to end up in a committee, and they're both going to get 150 carries, and we're all going to be
here.
And then a few days later, this story
yeah,
comes
Scott's
out.
Gonna, yeah, exactly.
So I'm with Fabs in that I do think by the end of the year, Randall's going to be the guy to take over. But I do believe them when they say it's going to be a committee. Usually, when we talk about coaches putting up smoke screens, it's the so-and-so is going to be our number one guy.
Right.
C.J. Spiller's going to run until he pukes.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a whole lot of Fred Jackson. Usually they don't lie. They don't lie the other way. They don't lie with, hey, we're going to split our carries up and then suddenly give 300 carries to one guy. It generally doesn't work that way. So I stand with what I said before, that I think Darren McFadden starts the year as the, you know, the guy at top of the depth chart, but I think somewhere midway through the season, Randall takes over, and I think he gets the bulk of those carries, but I do think it's going to be split. I think, you know, Fabs are right, maybe 200 to 250 for Randall, maybe somewhere between 150 to 200 for McFadden.
Wiz?
You know, I just did an article about these two guys, who to draft for NFL.com. You can find it at NFL.com/fantasy.
Well, self-promotion, and, is that what we're doing?
I mean, why
attaboy.
Not? Why not?
Attaboy.
Get up on the big stage in the podcast.
Yeah, baby. Let's do
bit.
It. All right.
And Fab's right. Joseph Randall has that explosion that you like to see. He's got that game-breaking speed.
Yeah.
He had like a 65-yard touchdown run against the Redskins toward the end of the season. Mm-hmm. He had that 40-yarder against the Seahawks or the Jaguars. But I was surprised. I watched every one of Darren McFadden's carries this past year. And I think the hate has gone a little too far on Run DMC as slow and old. Like we said, we were surprised he's 27.
Just 27.
Bust, all these things. The poor guy, you said patchwork offensive line. That was generous.
Yeah.
He was getting beat like he stole
right.
something in the backfield
by
opposing defenders. And when he did actually get holes to run through, sometimes he seemed so shocked that he didn't know where to go. And other times, his instincts would kick in that
all
we
right.
saw back in the day at Arkansas. And even when
right.
he kind of had those couple big years in around the 2010-2011 era, and he was looking good. He doesn't have that game-breaking speed, but he has the vision and power to bowl people over and finish
runs. No one can argue that he's not a talented guy. He's a very talented guy. You can't really do much with the talent when you're in the training
room.
Well,
he played 14 games last year.
But he split carries with Maurice Jones-Drew and
Latavius Murray.
He didn't see the lion's share of the carries there. It wasn't like a few years ago when he was expected to see 250-plus carries and he broke down.
You know what? He had like 200 over two times, I think, or twice, I think. He's only had over 200 carries.
We've talked about this before on this very podcast, and I've said this. I think Joe Randall will carry the load, carry the mail early on. And believe it or not, I really think Darren McFadden is going to have fresher legs at the end of the year. I think he's going to, because of his lightened workload early, I think he will be fresher late. I love Darren McFadden later in the year, actually, and Joe Randall early. Man, you know what this whole Darren McFadden situation reminds me of? We talked about it. How about Randy Moss leaving the Oakland Raiders? It's sometimes, man, when you find that new environment, and again, of course, a much better offensive line, a lot more talent surrounding him at the quarterback, at the wide receiver, at the tight end, a lot more talent surrounding the guy. I could see Darren McFadden actually breaking out this year, as crazy as that sounds. He's going from the Raiders to the Cowboys. There's going to be much higher expectations, and I think he's going to be rejuvenated. And he's got a fan of Jerry Jones, man. Jerry Jones absolutely loves the
Arkansas. Loves Arkansas guys.
And I really can see Darren McFadden emerging on the back half of the season as being, I won't go so far as say a top 10 running back, but a guy that you can absolutely start week in and week out. And when you're the draft price for – what's the draft price right now for Darren McFadden? It's pretty cheap.
I think he's a little higher on NFL.com, but him and Randall are floating anywhere from as high as round 4 to as low as round 10 and 11 on
Darren
sites.
McFadden's going as high – I would never take Darren
Randall,
McFadden.
Randall in round 4, yeah.
Okay.
McFadden's peak's right. Probably more around round
that's
6.
That's a little too pricey for me, even as a Randall fan.
Sure.
I
would agree with
ranked
that.
As a 23rd running back. I had McFadden as the 41st.
Okay, there you go. All right, so there you go. That's a complete breakdown, I would say, of the Dallas Cowboys running back battle. Let's talk about guys who have a lot of hype into this offseason. Should we believe the hype or is it a smokescreen? Amari Cooper, he's a clear number one. He's got a quarterback with a strong arm and no conscience in Derek Carr. Amari Cooper, hype train or smokescreen? Marcus Grant, we'll start with the resident Oakland Raider fan.
What?
No.
Wait a minute. He's a Niners fan.
I'm a Niner fan, but I have love in my heart for the Raiders.
The guy's got an Oakland Raiders starter's jacket, man.
Well, I did. That was a whole thing as a kid for another podcast.
Okay, got it.
I can't relive that heartbreak right now.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm on board, though. I'm on board the train for Amari Cooper. And I said
hard not to be, man.
I say in the short term for this 1 year, I like Kevin White better just because he doesn't have the pressure of expectation upon him there in Chicago. But over the long haul, if you're talking dynasty or keeper leagues, I love Amari Cooper. I love what he can do and what his ceiling is in that Raider offense, especially because I like Derek Carr as well. I think both these guys are destined to be really good players in this league for a very long time. So everything I've read, and certainly having watched some tape of him at Alabama, there's nothing that convinced me he can't be outstanding. So I am totally on board with this.
Gelhar?
I mean, you at a certain point, you wonder if it's just all lip service when you keep hearing another like hyperbolic quote like the sky's the limit or he's going to be a superstar,
sure.
Blah, 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 week after week. But, I mean, from what I watched on tape when he was there and from everything we're hearing and even little bits of vines and things we're seeing.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna coming into that like wide receiver 2 range. Like you can draft him and be happy.
I tell you what, man. I think the only reason we're talking about Amari Cooper at this point being possibly a smokescreen is because he plays for the Silver and Black.
And he was their first round pick, like fourth overall or whatever. Of course, they're gonna say he's a godsend on the football field.
But I mean, again, that the team obviously scares me because Oakland is a place where talent goes to die, man. But Derek Carr, I think, is kind of reversing that trend, and I do believe he's going to have googly eyes for Amari Cooper, and he should see plenty of targets. I'm going to say hype train as well.
Yeah, I'm on the train, too, with Cooper. His route running is impressive. He's been compared to Torrey Holt. He's going to be compared to Julio Jones. Can stretch the field, beat you at the vertical pass attack.
He was more polished than Jones, right, coming out of Alabama?
Correct. So this is a player who, especially after a 2014 campaign that saw so many young wide receivers go off,
yeah,
I have him as a fifth-round pick right now.
Ooh,
in a
hello.
Team league, yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood of low two, high three, somewhere there. And if you can get him there, I think you're going to be very happy. And what I do like is what Marcus said. Derek Carr is the quarterback there.
Yeah.
Not one of these, you know, curtain jerkers or mid-card jobbers, as Adam Rank likes to say, under center.
Yeah.
Carr's got upside. He's got moxie. He's got confidence, and he's got a hell of an arm.
And
so,
like I said, he's got no conscience.
I like Cooper this year.
He's going to toss it 50, 60 times a game, man. He's not going to even have second thoughts about it.
Keep
I love
in mind
it.
That the NFL, in terms of what younger players can do, it's evolving. It's a quicker process now.
Point.
It's not getting in there and learning
right.
You're a player for a year or two before you make an impact.
All right, Davante Adams, speaking of a young wide receiver, he's a second-year wideout for Green Bay. 6'1", 215 pounds. Good athlete, man. And one of the most – he's in one of the most deadly offenses in football. The only problem – he's a third option behind Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, who they re-signed to a very big deal. But, man, the quotes out of Green Bay, they cannot be more effusive in praise in regards to Davante Adams. Hype trainer smokescreen, and we'll start with how about the whiz kid from Wisconsin? Tell me, hype trainer smokescreen for Davante Adams.
I've wanted to be very cautious with Adams this whole offseason because, like you said, he's got those great guys ahead of him. But – and Mike McCarthy, he even got dinged by our Around the NFL colleagues for saying the same stuff about Jarrett Boykin last offseason.
Right.
Ready to make the leap and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But when number 12 starts dropping praise as highly as he has about somebody like Adams, he's normally not wrong. The last person he was speaking this highly of was Randall Cobb.
Right.
He's got a $40 million contract from them.
Sure.
So I like it. I'm still worried. You know, there is worry he could only get 600 yards and a few touchdowns in that offense. Yeah, as high powered as it is. However, like I mentioned it on this podcast a couple weeks ago, there's a chance that those three guys could all get 1,000 yards and a slew of touchdowns with Rodgers slinging the rock. So I love taking Adams. His ADP is, you know, in the later rounds, like 14 or 15. If I can get him as a fourth or fifth wide receiver, why not?
Done.
Yeah, you should target him as right in that area, four or
bench
five.
Bench player to start.
Likely a five. I think the thing that would concern me about Adams is, as the boy wonder mentioned, that would be you, Alex. That there's a lot of targets that
we didn't
are
even
be
mention Eddie Lacy because Eddie
got
Lacy's
like 40,
got to eat
40
man.
Catches or something last
He's
year.
A guy who can catch 30 or 40 passes out of the backfield, and then you add Cobb and then you add Nelson. So Adams is one of those guys who, like, in the first 3 weeks is going to have one huge game and everyone is going to jump on his bandwagon.
Yeah,
Kevin,
and then for
Kevin
3 weeks,
type game.
He's going to disappear. And
how
then he'll have
you
another
Kevin
big game.
Ogletree.
There's just not enough balls to go around in that offense for Adams to be a consistently good fantasy wide receiver. Certainly draftable. And if anything had ever happened, God forbid, to Nelson or Cobb and they were forced
in
this time, Adams would be one of the most popular players picked up off the waiver.
And that's what I would point to. You know, if you're in the 13th round, take Davante Adams.
Sure.
Because, you know, health is not guaranteed in the NFL.
It's kind of like the same situation as Cody Latimer is in with Denver, right?
Yeah, no question.
You've got DT and you've got Sanders ahead of him, but there's talent there. He'll put up a couple of good games. And if one of those two wide receivers should go down, boom.
Huge
opportunity.
Huge
opens up.
All right, Josh Hill. Around the NFL has Saints tight end Josh Hill cracking into their top 10, making the leap players. Jimmy Graham gone. It's a team that still has Drew Brees, an offensive genius, mastermind Sean Payton. Hill entering his third season, 6'5", 250. Payton's been raving about this kid, raving about his athleticism this offseason. 38-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump. And keep in mind, 6'5", 250, 11-foot broad. That's impressive, man. Payton said Hill is better in every category than every tight end in the draft this year. That's why they did not address that in the draft. What do we make of Josh Hill? Hype train or smokescreen? Marcus Grant.
My lungs, I feel them filling with smoke. It's hard getting hard to breathe. I mean, look, just because Jimmy Graham leaves for Seattle.
All right.
And there's a void there. I don't expect Josh Hill to just jump in and suddenly the you know that part of the offense is going to just keep on going without skipping a beat. You know, and I believe Josh Hill is extremely athletic and probably can make some plays in that offense. But you're going to tell me that he's just going to run in and all of a sudden become the superstar?
I'm not buying it just yet. I think he's a guy who still has to prove himself, and certainly knowing how shallow the fantasy tight end position is,
yep.
I'm not rushing out to go and plug in Josh Hill expecting superstar numbers out of the guy. I think this is a clear case of a coach really pumping up one of his guys right now.
You know what he could be is like a lesser Dwayne Allen, because he's going to be targeted in the red zone. He's
going to
be targeted in the red zone. Right. 5 touchdowns. And he only had 14 catches.
That's what I'm saying.
The yardage.
That's what I like.
The yardage and the receptions aren't going to be there like they were for Jimmy Graham, because Graham is a vastly superior athlete.
100%.
But opportunities in the red zone could lead you to potentially use Hill, not as your number one tight end. I agree with Marcus there. But maybe as a streaming tight end option, because a lot of people will be streaming tight ends, or as a number two, because most prominently because of his access to the red zone, that Drew Brees will be looking for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had 8 or 9 touchdowns this year. I just don't think the yards and the receptions are going to be there.
So he's not a lesser Dwayne Allen. He's Scott Chandler. He's Scott Chandler.
He could be a better Scott Chandler. How about that?
An upgraded Scott Chandler.
Right. Yeah.
He's a rich man Scott Chandler. Is that Now, look, I like Josh Hill. I like the opportunity. Like you said, 5 touchdowns on, 14 catches or something?
Yeah,
I mean, so clearly Drew Brees, the offense at least is looking for him.
Right.
I mean, they've got some plays designed where he can make opportunities in the red zone. So I like that. I like that about him. And the fact of the matter is, tight end, Fabs, you've mentioned a million times, man, the tight end position this year, outside of the top 4 or 5 guys, it's an absolute train wreck, because anybody – any one of these guys, any number of guys could break out. And to me, if you're waiting on tight end, as you should be if you miss out on the top 4 or 5 guys, just wait. Just wait till the 14th, 15th round. See who else is there. If Josh Hill is there in the 14th round, 13th round, heck, if you want to reach for him in the 12th, by all means.
I
like him in the 12th.
Can I give you one quick stat before we go to Alex
Please.
There? I wrote a column today that you can find on the website. Overall, of the top 10 tight ends last year based on fantasy points, half of them were drafted after the 12th round,
The
11th round.
There you go.
12 to 15. Numbers 11 to 20, you saw most of those guys picked up off the waiver wire.
That's right.
Or drafted in the 15th round.
Yes.
So that's what you're looking at. It's very, very ugly. And hopefully Zach Ertz can break out like we've all predicted him to do.
Or Travis Kelce.
But if they don't, tight end's going to be like the new kicker.
Yeah.
You're just going to wait.
I agree. And that's what I'm saying. Look.
Well, real quick, like what you're saying, the late rounds, guys that are going ahead of him on NFL.com right now, Eric Ebron, Larry Donnell, Kyle Rudolph, Heath Miller. I'd rather take a chance on the younger, more athletic Hill than any of those guys.
In a good offense. Look, I love Eric Ebron. He's an athletic
He didn't go to Cal.
Freak. No, he did not go to Cal. But he's a freak. And he's got a strong-arm quarterback in Matt Stafford as well. But he's got competition there. I don't know if Josh Hill has a lot of competition. Who's he battling right now for that tight end?
Come on, man. Ben Watson. He's got good things to say about you.
Negative. No. Ben Watson's a blocking tight end. That's just about it. So
Ben Watson sniffed a little bit of fantasy value earlier
one
in
last
his
thing.
Career.
Hill he is athletic. We don't want to discount that. But if he was as great as Jimmy Graham is, Drew Brees would have not posted a picture of his son crying in a Jimmy Graham jersey. It would have been with a thumbs up in a Josh Hill
That's
jersey.
Right.
So we know there's going to be a step
right.
down,
yeah,
but
yeah,
there's
yeah.
potential.
I think 800 yards is probably his ceiling. 800 yards and I want to say eight touchdowns. How about 800?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he had more touchdowns than like the yardage thing.
All right.
8 or 9 touchdowns and
six,
700 yards.
I'd be projecting him more for like 500 or 600 yards, somewhere in that area.
How about this? New segment. Can you take me higher?
As long as they're singing it and you're not, Co.
Yeah, so you should have let Sully do the job first.
Me higher?
We've got glass in here that's shattering.
No. Look,
this is a damn good. You know who is in this band? Ted Nugent.
Okay.
Who we all love, even though he's a psycho.
Total psycho.
Tommy Shaw from Styx. Jack Blades from Night Ranger.
Okay.
You remember him?
No. Night Ranger sounds like an awesome
I'm just
comic
book.
And Michael Cardalone from, he's I think he's in Leonard Skinner now.
Who are four people who've never been in my kitchen?
We should start our own Fantasy Live hair metal band and Coke and bring that false
I'm the lead.
Main stage.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
I am 100%
gracious.
The lead. There's no question about that. Look,
he's
I
got
am,
the ego for
first
it.
First of all, look, you take me into a karaoke, okay? I will destroy.
If you like go into the karaoke, I am leaving.
When are we doing our karaoke in K-Town, by the way?
Yeah. That's what we're doing. Okay, so we're going to pull the curtain back. I promised the fantasy team that that I would take all expenses paid on me. I'm going to take the fantasy team out. We're gonna do K-Town right. We're in Culver City. K-Town's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. We're gonna do a little Korean barbecue, and then we may have some soju.
I'm down with that.
Okay, right. A little soju, a little Korean barbecue.
I'm down with that.
And karaoke to cap the night off. I don't know when we're going to do it because, like I said, my shoulder's like winter in Game of Thrones. It is coming.
And you have a small child that takes your time as well.
Yeah, a little baby
Co. I don't
know
if baby Co is ready for the main stage yet at a karaoke bar.
You know what's so funny, though? She loves to sing.
All right. Well,
she loves.
Maybe she's we'll bring her out.
Yeah,
maybe.
Bring it, Riley Curry.
All right, Can You Take Me Higher? It's a little segment we got, a new one. It's basically, you know, not very high profile. How about this? Unsexy fantasy guys
that
produced.
Work?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
That produced last year, they weren't necessarily game breakers, but can you trust them this year? Are these guys that can take your fantasy team, provide you stability, and take you to the next level? We'll start with Alfred Morris, the much maligned Freddie Morris.
Probably the king of the unsexy fantasy
I know, man.
Stars.
You know, and I don't know why. When I see him run, I see a lot of talent there. He had almost 1,100 rushing yards last year, 1,075. He had 8 touchdowns, which was a boost for him. What do we think of Alfred Morris? Can he be a stable presence in your running back corps?
Sure, except it's not about him. It's about the coaches around him. I mean, he's the guy from Varsity Blues where he runs it all the way down to the 5 or the 3-yard line, and then they take him out and somebody else scores the touchdown. I mean, my Christmas wish list last year included getting Alfred Morris goal line carries. You know, so it's not about Alfred Morris. He can totally be that guy if they decide they want to give him the ball down near the goal line, because yardage wise he's fine.
Right.
He just doesn't get in the end zone.
Yeah, Darrell Young. He's on everyone's
Roy Helu.
Hate.
Well, at least Roy Helu is in,
he's gone now.
In Oakland now.
Now you're a little.
But you know, it's Matt Jones now who could be the new Roy Helu.
Oh my god!
But I mean,
he's
honestly,
a bigger back. So
Morris has been a top 15 back every year that he's played in the NFL. Had that huge rookie year where he was in the top 5. Not going to be there again, but he's a fine RB2. I think what happens is that people look at the negative. They forget about the positive sometimes with Alfred Morris, and they remember that he lost goal line carries here and there. But at the end of the day, the numbers show that he is exactly what he is. He is a good RB2. He's a mid-level RB2. He's going to come off the board in one of the first 5 rounds. He's not the sexiest player in the world, as we all mentioned, but he's safe. And he is a guy who's going to produce for you, especially against the Cowboys. I know this personally. I'm a Cowboys fan. He loves to run all over the Cowboys.
That's true.
But Morris isn't going to break your fantasy team at all. It's not going to make it a championship contender, but it's not going to hurt it either.
Right. Mm. He's the kind of fantasy player you can bring home to mom for Christmas.
There you go.
That's exactly it. That's right.
Frank Gore, 1,100 rushing yards last year, despite the demise that was on the wall for Frank Gore. 32 years old, not a lot of touchdowns last year, 4 touchdowns, but he's in a much, much better offense this year. Expected to, at least early on, be the lead dunk for Indianapolis and Andrew Luck there. What do we expect from Frank Gore? Can he take you higher?
Yes. And you guys know this. I don't love running backs who are 30 and over.
No.
I don't. There's a couple of them I really like this year. One of them is Adrian Peterson. The other one is Frank Gore. Did you know that Gore ran against 8 or more defenders a league high 76 times last
year? That's amazing.
You know what's going to happen if teams do that to Andrew Luck?
He is going
to slice them up.
Philip Dorsett
can't do it.
Running streaks on the
side. I don't buy into Dan Heron being a threat for Gore. Gore is going to handle the mail as much as he possibly can.
Okay.
Maybe up to 285 carries this year.
Oh.
He's going to see the goal line work. Ahmad Bradshaw's out of the picture. I think Gore's a high RB2.
Interesting. I can't see him carrying that workload, man. That's a big work.
Dude, every year, we've been saying it for 3 years.
He's
this
the Terminator.
This is the year.
That's why his nickname is the Inconvenient Truth.
Exactly. Yes.
Every year, we try to write him off. I got burned by Gore years ago, and I was like, I'm not going to draft you. And then he went and got 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. I'm like, I'm not going to draft you, Frank Gore. You know what he did the next like 3 years after that? He got 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Okay.
So you put him in this Colts offense, like Fab said. I think he's another one of those guys that you're not going to get a lot of oohs or ahs if you draft Frank Gore in the fourth or fifth round of your fantasy draft, but you're going to get a lot of 10 to 15 point weeks, and that's going to be great for your team.
Keep this in mind. Ahmad Bradshaw, who's broken down and injury prone,
yep,
was a very solid fantasy
Absolutely.
Running back before he was injured. And
a top 10 guy.
Let's be honest. Boom Heron had his share of really good games
for
the Colts and for fantasy owners. Imagine what Gore can do. Same offense.
I'm worried that Gore will break down.
I see. I knew you were going to say that, or someone was going to say that, and I look, and really over the course of his career, the guy's been healthy. I mean, his worst year was 2010. He played 11 games. He has played 16 games each of the last four seasons. This guy, he's going to outlive us all. You know this, right? Frank Gore is going to outlive all of us.
It's
going to
be him and Brett Favre just playing NFL football.
Basically, yes, on Brett's big old ranch. You know, that'll be it.
They're both going to be driving tractors, though, and throwing each other the football.
That's it. That's it.
I love it, man. All right, how about Danny Woodhead? Not a lot of fanfare with Danny Woodhead, but obviously suffered a catastrophic injury last year, but when healthy, 16 games with the Chargers 2 years ago, 76 receptions, 76, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. He had 1,000 total yards and 8 total touchdowns 2 years ago. What do we make of Danny Woodhead?
I'll start this one off because I was the one that put him on the rundown for this. Danny Woodhead's one of those people that is easy to overlook because he's not getting the highlight plays. He's not getting all the touches. He's a
I feel like that deserved a rim shot.
However,
Danny Woodhead is easy to overlook. Yeah, he is. 5'5".
However, three of the last four years.
No shots at the short guys. You're not exactly Kareem yourself.
Three of the last 4 years, Woodhead's been a top 25 fantasy back in standard scoring, not even PPR.
Wow.
So that's why when we're talking about, you know, maybe he can't take you higher, but when we're talking about those unsexy stars that can be a weekly contributor,
yeah,
Danny Woodhead as a flex or if, you know, a bye week guy as your RB3 can have a lot of value when he gets back into that offense. I mean, Melvin Gordon's there and is going to be the early down bell cow, but they love Danny Woodhead, and he's a fantastic football player. So he's PFT commenter's favorite football player.
Of course,
so
he's a road grader.
He's a road grader. Lunch pail.
Lunch pail road grader guy.
Coming in and punching the clock, but he's going to put up some numbers and some fantasy points.
Yeah, the reason – and I look at his totals, and his totals are always pretty good.
Yeah.
The hard thing for me is figuring out when do you start Danny Woodhead. Like, when and where do you put him into your lineup?
That's my problem.
Because, I mean, if he gets you a touchdown or two, then it was certainly worth it. But then if he doesn't get you a touchdown, you're left, you know, looking at about
– 45 yards.
Right. You know, it's like 37 scrimmage yards, which doesn't do
so
you a whole lot.
He's like the running back version of Eddie Royal.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, if you find him in the right week, yeah, he probably is.
Eddie Royal scores 5 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks.
And then you never hear from him again.
So, yeah, Kevin White owners, keep him on the bench. Let Eddie Royal get his touchdowns out of the way, then put him in.
So, I mean, I do like, you know, you like what Danny Woodhead eventually gets to. It's just the heartache of trying to figure out when he's going to get you those numbers.
Yeah, and I think it's a different situation for Danny Woodhead this year. You know, he's got a clear lead guy in Melvin Gordon there. All those years that he's put up all of those aggregate stats, I can't remember one backfield that had clarity in it.
Well, he had the Ryan Matthews ahead of him.
Again, I can't think of one backfield that had clarity in it. It's just not – he's always been in a situation where there hasn't been that much running back talent, which opens the door for a very versatile guy like Danny Woodhead to kind of run into the slot, to steal a couple carries here and there. I just think this year's going to be the year where it all catches up to him. And oh, by the way, he's coming back from a pretty catastrophic injury as well. So I would not recommend Danny Woodhead. I can't even recommend drafting the guy. Although I'm sure my other panelists here would say 12th, 13th round, you know, maybe take a flyer on him.
It makes you wonder how the Jets cut him.
Makes no sense.
Like four
that,
or five
that
years
year
ago.
That,
and,
that year
and then he went
him,
to New England.
And he put up top 25.
You
numbers.
Answered your own question when you said Jets.
Jets.
So.
Yes.
So not that high on Danny Woodhead, but we move on. Vincent Jackson. 1,000 yards last year. He's 32 years old, but still a big target. Great hands. He's still got okay speed. He's got a much better quarterback. What do we make of Vincent Jackson?
we keep throwing out that much better for a guy that's never played a snap in the NFL.
As someone who owned Vincent Jackson in one of my 7,000 leagues last year, let me tell you that few players gave me bigger headaches.
Yes.
You know,
right.
he would give you like 9 yards and a touchdown, which is not very many fantasy points.
No.
I mean, if it wasn't for the touchdown, he had given you a stinker.
Right.
A bigger stinker. With that being said, I think Dirk Cutter is going to want to utilize him a little bit more in the slot. Mike Evans is going to be the clear go-to guy there. I have Jackson right there at the low two, high three, and I'd prefer him as a high three in that offense.
I don't want any part of Vincent Jackson.
Yeah,
because I've had those same headaches that Fabs has had. I mean, if you like roller coasters, then Vincent Jackson is the guy for you, because he's up 1 week, then he's down for a couple of weeks, then he'll have, you know, a two-touchdown week after that. It's just he's a guy who really is the epitome of you know, you look at the numbers, and the numbers themselves are misleading because it's how he gets those numbers. And I know our guy franchise, Matt Franciscovich, kind of wrote about this recently.
All right.
Guys whose numbers don't necessarily add up to what they produce. And I think Vincent Jackson may be the chief of those guys where, you know, you look at his numbers a couple years ago in 2013, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, but he was so up and down all year.
Right.
It was just hard to predict him.
He had a 250-yard game or something around there in that 1,200-yard campaign too. So, no, you're right. It's 1 week he can absolutely be a game breaker, and another week a stinker, as Michael Fabiano would say.
Yes.
What does the Wiz think about Vincent Jackson here?
I think the hate has gone a little too far, as I said earlier in the show,
yep.
on Vincent Jackson. I think he can still be a proven contributor, and people might start keying in on Mike Evans a little more, and a savvy vet like Vincent Jackson is going to be able to get open and still produce. I'm with Fabs. I'd rather have him in that wide receiver three range. Right now his ADP, speaking of the hate going too far on NFL.com,
yeah. Where's he going?
Is round 11.
Whoa!
So you can definitely take him
in round 11.
That.
I could take him as a four.
Yeah, I like him in round. I like him in round, you know, 11, 12. Here's the thing. I'm so biased towards younger players that a guy who's 32 years old and we've seen up and down production throughout his entire career, it's hard for me to get on board. Which is why I probably would peg him down there at round 11 or 12, only because in rounds 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm probably taking upside guys. Vincent Jackson, you're right. I mean, look, he's 32 years old. Again, in my opinion, I think he's got a much better quarterback, and Dirk Cutter's going to be in a much more quick-hitting offense. He's going to pose a problem in the red zone. I guarantee it, because they don't have very much of a running game. And Vincent Jackson down there, he's going to be a load for somebody, man. So, look, I think 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, totally doable. It's just he's a good flex, not a great wide receiver.
Yeah, too. Alex, Vincent Jackson could easily be my Frank Gore, the guy I pass on, and he just puts up.
I regret it. If Frank Gore's listening, I'm sorry.
He could totally.
Sorry, I didn't draft you.
How about Roddy White? Talk about aging wide receivers here, 33 years old. He's battled injuries all last year, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, though. He was all right. Roddy White, is he a contributor that will continue to produce unsexy but, you know, steady numbers next year?
I think so. I was one who kind of nominated him for this list simply because I was looking up some other things, and I happened to come across Roddy White's numbers from last season and looked at them and realized they weren't as bad as I thought they were. I mean, 921 and 7 touchdowns. I mean, he's not a wide receiver one anymore. I think those days are pretty much past with Julio Jones being there and just being a super stud. But I think the Falcons are probably going to put the ball in the air a little bit more this year. I think Matt Ryan is – I mean, we kind of know who he is, but he's not a bad quarterback. He spreads the ball around well. And I think Roddy White is a guy who you can count on for, again, 900 yards, maybe creeps up on 1,000 yards, gets you, you know, 6 to 8 touchdowns. Those aren't bad numbers for, you know, a second or third wide receiver on your roster. And I think Roddy White can still be that guy.
He's in the Vincent Jackson category.
Yeah, they're like
he really
right
is.
Together there.
From a fantasy perspective, guys who were once number ones, who slid into the number two tier, and now you're looking at them as threes.
Yeah,
I think Roddy has a little more PPR appeal, but still three, and probably drafted
pretty
seventh,
late.
Eighth round, somewhere
around
there.
Round 12 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Man.
Yeah, I
wow.
went to, seven. Like I said, 7, 8, 9, man. Savvy drafters are taking upside guys. The problem with Vincent Jackson and Roddy White, they don't provide you any upside. What's the upside to Roddy White? I mean, really?
7 touchdowns isn't upside?
Not, I mean,
the upside is that he plays a full season and gets, right, gets 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns again.
But who really?
Yeah.
Really?
In that offense.
1,300 and what? Eight?
And I said that's the upside. That could happen. Guys like Reggie Wayne posted out insane numbers with a good quarterback when he was older.
Man.
He's also got Julio Jones eating up all the double coverage in the world opposite him.
But also all the targets as well.
He's still at 125 targets last year.
That's
not bad. A busted-up Roddy White day.
Yeah, he was very injured last year, no question. He battled through it, too. He was tough.
Plus, he's been kind enough in the past to tell us if he's injured to not start.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. If I don't practice, I'm not
That's
playing.
That's got to count for something.
It does. I do
also
appreciate that.
You know, also keep in mind, too, that he missed a couple of games last year. He was banged up for a little bit.
Yep.
And, I mean, he's 33 years old, so he's not ancient. I mean, he's not at that Reggie Wayne age where it was ready, where he was ready to physically break down. And he's in a good offense that's going to score a lot of points. I would not be shocked if he had 80,007 touchdowns. That puts him right in the number three conversation.
Yeah. That's an excellent flex. There's no question about it. All right, we move on. Marcus Colston, 32 years old. He's seen a decline in targets, reception, and yards for three consecutive seasons. 900 yards, five touchdowns last year. Do we believe in Marcus Colston as a guy who can be a regular, steady fantasy contributor?
I'm seeing a trend here. The third wide receiver, who used to be a one, slid to a two, and is now more of a three.
And all in the NFC South.
Yeah, there
all
you
in
go.
The same division.
There you go right
oh,
there.
Wow.
I see Colston as a three, honestly, or maybe if you're like me and you like to go running backs and wide receivers predominantly in the first eight rounds, maybe you can get him as a high four. But the same goes for Colston as goes for Cooks, right? The targets are going to be there. Unless Bree starts throwing at these no-name young guys that we talked about a little bit earlier on, Colston, to me, at least going into training camp, is going to be Bree's most trusted option. He's played a long time with Marcus Colston. They've made beautiful fantasy music together. And until Brandon Cooks makes that next step, which I think he will make that leap this year.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Colston's going to see some targets. Now, I would be on the safe side with him. And again, I draft him as a three or a four somewhere in that area. But there are going to be weeks when Marcus Colston has some pretty good numbers. He's probably the best red zone target that Breeze has right now in that offense. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Other than handing the ball off to
Sure.
To
well, of course.
Well, how about this, though?
Go ahead.
So like, just play along with me here. Because when Marcus Colston came in the league, I mean, he's a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. He was a tight end.
He was a tight end.
He was a tight end. And, I mean, since we all know that time is a flat circle, what are the chances it comes back around? And maybe he doesn't regularly line up at tight end, but maybe the Saints go with a two tight end set with Josh Hill and Marcus Colston, and he starts to be that big red zone target again that Jimmy Graham was when he
Man,
was.
Man, I like it when you guys start talking crazy. I like it. I like that. Hey, you know, you put a little T-E next to his name instead of the W-R. And all of a sudden, the guy becomes a huge asset.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, man. Again, we talk about upside. I draft on upside considerably, and to a fault, I fully admit. But Marcus Colston, again, we've seen a decline in targets, receptions, and yards for three consecutive seasons. I see that trend continuing. You know, I don't think 900 – look, five touchdowns for him would be an absolute miracle. I don't see him getting even – I see him maybe getting three touchdowns total all year. That's a guy that's going to be sitting on the waiver wire, man.
No way.
And if you are –
I think he might.
If three? You are – three.
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 Losing Colston – I'm sorry, losing Graham.
Yep.
Losing Stills.
I just think because they're –
Very bad feeling about this.
You know
I
what
think
I'm
900,
saying?
I think 900 is fine. I think three touchdowns.
How about
though.
We wager a lunch?
Woo! Sure, I'll do it. What do you want?
So,
to do? Over under three?
I mean, geez.
Take it. Take the money
and
run.
Are you kidding me? I can't even get it out. I want to say something. I could see him scoring seven this year. I really could.
We'll set it at 3.5. All right. So
is there any limit on what kind of lunch?
Let's go with a sandwich. A gyro.
We'll go within walking distance of Culver. How about that?
I could walk for a while.
We'll set it at 3.5. You'll take the over on that. I'll take the under. Yes.
Let's do it.
All right. I like it. I think Marcus Colston the zero upside.
I feel lower on him than the other two guys we just discussed, but I think you're going a little too low. You're hating a little heavy on Marcus Colston. And CJ Spiller. What did the Saints do to you
this
offseason?
Yeah, that's right. Forget the Saints, man. No, I don't know. right. No, I like to say, I'm intrigued by their younger guys a little bit. You know, can I say that? First of all, I think Mark Ingram will be a good play. You know, again, Nick Toon, these guys, Shontavious Jones. I don't know. I tend to believe Drew Brees a little bit. Maybe he is going to make household names of some of these random guys. I don't know. All I know is that I'm not drafting Marcus Colson. I just know that. That much I do know.
I think we should probably get out of here.
All right, fine.
We've been rambling for a while.
Yeah, it's
fine. We have. All right, here we go. All right, for Marcus Grant, the whiz kid from Wisconsin, and the Fantasy Hall of Famer, I'm James Cole. We're out of here.